tonight.
What? Alright. How's everyone doing? That's good. Thank you, whoever said you missed me. I miss you too. Alright. So, my name is Miles. Most of you, it is, I promise you. My goal here tonight is just to be able to talk to you guys. I love talking to you guys because I remember when I was in your place, and it's hard being in your place. Like, there's a whole bunch of things going on in your life. And sometimes people don't see that. But I just want to be able to talk to you guys frankly and honestly and like you're adults. So I'm going to treat you like adults as long as you act like adults. So just be off your phones, pay attention, and it'll be good, and everything will be fine. So in college is hard, but it's a lot better than high school. So just so you know, you have something to look forward to. And each semester in college, there's something new I learn about myself and learn that I'm doing wrong. And something I've been learning this semester in college is just that, like, I don't have control over anything that's happening in my life. I think I do, but in reality, I don't. And sometimes God has to show me that by making everything else fall apart so that I can focus solely on Him. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, a passage that's really been influential for me and that's really impacted me. And just a quick disclaimer, I'm going to talk about some things. And sometimes when I preach, people think I'm specifically targeting them out. I don't know what's going on in your guys' life. So if I bring up an issue and it makes you mad that I brought it up and I'm targeting you or bringing something up, just think about it. Don't get mad at me. Just think about the issues that are going on in your life. I want to address whatever is God's trying to show you. Because I don't know usually what I'm doing when I come up to preach. I let the Holy Spirit take over. I have a format that I go over, but the Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit leads. So I just ask that you're open and we'll have a good time, hopefully. So the first thing I want to do is for you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. And just another quick disclaimer, I just got over a cold, which means my voice is weird. So there's a good chance my voice will crack at some point. Feel free to laugh at it. I just want to call it out right now so you don't think I feel awkward because I'm used to it. All right. And to explain this really cringy title, because I was trying to talk to some of the pastors about it and they didn't get it. It's like, who's ready to rumble? But it's like, who's ready to be humble? It's really funny. All right, you guys didn't laugh, but I laughed for a good 10 minutes because I'm very cringy. All right, so this thing is not working. How do I make it go? It is. Ah, cool. All right, so what I want us to do is I want us to look at these quotes. I have three quotes. I just want us to think about it. And then I want you to tell me what's wrong with the quote. It's not a trick question. There's something wrong with these quotes that I'm going to bring up. And I want you to be able to talk to me, give me some input. I want you to actually think and engage with me. So, we look at this quote by Joel Osteen. Who's Joel Osteen? Someone give me just a brief summary. Yeah, he's a preacher. All right, he's a guy who usually promotes things that we would call the prosperity gospel. I wouldn't encourage any of you to go listen to Joel Osteen's preaching because it's not biblical, as you can see from this quote. So, someone tell me, what is wrong with this quote?
It's not true.
That is true. Why is it not true? What do you got, Matthew? All right. What else? James?
God may not want you to have money, and He may want you to live in the medium class.
All right. Matthew?
It's basically telling us to revolve our life around money.
Yeah.
God wants us to build up our riches in humility and respect and being kind to others.
Mm-hmm. Claire? Yeah. So this is not a good quote at all. Okay, he's trying to make people feel good by saying God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to have all these things. God's focused on building you up and making you into a great, rich, and successful person. It's all focused about us and what we can get out of God. And that's wrong. God doesn't promise us prosperity. If we actually look at Scripture, He promises that we'll face some hard times in our life, but He'll take care of us through it. All right, so that was good. All right, so what about this one? This one sounds good on paper. If you say it like really fast, you don't actually think about it. But what's wrong with this quote? And why are you looking at it? This guy named Rick Warren, he's actually an evangelical. So he's the type of guy we would listen to the preaching of. But he even has some ideas that aren't correct. He wrote a really famous book called The Purpose-Driven Life. But he has some few ideas like this one that's wrong. So what do you think is wrong with this? Yeah, buddy.
Do this, like you do this, like you do believe in God, and you do believe that, like, you actually do
Okay. All right. Michael.
Us as humans are already destined to go to hell. So him saying that it would almost be impossible, it's extremely wrong. Because if you really think about it, most people nowadays don't believe that there is a God. So, to me, how he's saying is all of us already believe that there's a God, so then all of us, to go to hell, we are rejecting, you know, somebody that we already believe.
Okay. James.
I was reading a quote and said the quote saying you don't love God, but you love God, because if you don't love God, don't trust him, you're going to hell. But if you love him with all your heart and trust him, you will go to a better place.
All right. So, what this guy is saying is that it seems almost impossible to go to hell, because we're just all seeing how amazing Christ is, and we all run towards him. But in reality, a lot of us are running the complete opposite way. When we start out in life, we're running completely towards hell. And we see the amazing love of God quite often in our lives, whether we're Christian or not, because God's just that amazing. But a lot of us reject it daily. We reject God's love daily. When we sin and we say, God, my sin's better than you, we're doing that. Running away from God. And we're running towards hell a lot of the times. If we're not saved, we're so running towards hell. Sometimes we still even go back, and it doesn't make sense why we'd go back to sin. It's very possible that people are going to hell. Very possible. All right? And last one. I wanted to get Rihanna, because you guys know the other two as well, probably, as you know Rihanna. But what's wrong with this quote? What's wrong with this quote? Okay. Huh? Okay. Ivan. Okay. Alright. So the thing about this one, and the thing that makes this one interesting, is that we think about it and it seems like this is what our culture is spewing out. They just love yourself. Because a lot of people are fighting against self-hatred and hating yourself, which is horrible. You shouldn't hate yourself. But the way she's talking about this is that you need to focus on yourself. You have to change your... The problem with this, and it seems really good, is that it's focusing on you. And I don't know the context of this. I don't know all the stuff of this. I'm just looking at these words. And if I love myself, as I usually fall into the trap of doing, when I love myself, I want to be anyone else but myself. Because I'm falling into such horrible sin and such horrible things. But our world is promoting us and telling us to follow ourselves. Well, I don't want to get into discussion if Rihanna is good or bad or what. But what she's saying is, what the focus is, what the culture's focus is on ourselves. Everyone's focused on just being you. Being the best you can possibly be. And we're so numb to it now that it just makes sense. And we go with it. And what I want to do tonight is to look back and see where our focus should be, because we have these two focuses in mind, but we try to combine them together. The right focus and the wrong focus. We try to combine them together. And that's not what I want tonight. I want us to see the right focus and stick to the right focus. All right? So you guys did really well with that. The world is so focused on self. It's all focused on me. What can I do to make myself better? I hold power. I hold greatness. I am important. I should promote self-love, self-empowerment, self-promotion. Do what's best for me. Follow my heart. And I'm not trying to be cliche here. I just want you to see it's so ingrained. There's a focus away from humility. There's a focus away from not putting ourselves at the spotlight. But a lot of the things we do in our life is to promote ourselves. And if we look at a definition of humility, it's a modest or low view of one's importance. This isn't self-deprecating or anything like that. It's taking yourself out of the spotlight. The word in Latin actually means low, seeing yourself low. Not as a piece of trash, but seeing yourself as that others are more important. That before all, God is most important. So what I want to do tonight, what my purpose here tonight is really simple. It's something we should always be striving. I just want us to see how great Christ is. If we go out and we say, wow, Christ is amazing, and we actually start living that, start thinking that more on a daily basis, my goal will be accomplished. It's not a difficult, complicated goal. But I want you to see how much you are in need of Christ and how amazing He is. So I want to show you a problem in Scripture with us, the solution to it and the result and how it applies. So look with me at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. And we'll read to about verse 11. So just follow along and read with me. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one's mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God hath highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, I didn't switch slides. Sorry if you were reading the slides. That was my bad. But Philippians chapter 2, first few verses. This is Paul's intro. It's his exhortation. He's saying, hey, this is what I want you guys to get. This is my reason for writing. All right, and he's writing to the Philippians, the church at Philippi, and he's trying to tell them, you guys are doing pretty well. You guys are seeking after Christ. It's kind of a thank you note, but it's so much more than that. He's trying to give them encouragement and say that hard times are coming. Things are coming that's going to be hard for you, but I want you to find encouragement through Christ. Find joy in Christ. Continue to make progress in the faith. Don't just stop moving in the faith. Actually move towards Christ. And he begins to exhort and urge believers. He uses these conditional clauses of if, and if you look at the Greek, which might not be interesting to you, but it's actually a way to say it as, like, since you have, instead of saying if. You could say, since you have encouragement in Christ, since you have comfort from love, since you have participation in the Spirit, since you have affection and sympathy. He's saying, since you have this actual desire to serve God, now we can work and actually do something. So the first step is that you have to actually desire to love God. That has to be your first and foremost desire. That you put yourself away and you say, I'm going to focus on loving Christ. I have this desire. I might not be doing it right now, but I want to take the steps so that I can do it. That's what Paul's trying to get. He's trying to get this idea as he moves in to something even bigger. And in verse 2, he says he wants all of us to be of one mind. He doesn't want us fighting with our different lusts, fighting with our different selfishness. He wants us all to be on one mind and move forward. So this is the part where I don't necessarily like to cover, because this is kind of the harder part. We're going to go into our problem, and that we all have a problem. We are all so focused greatly on ourselves. And some people hear that and they say, yeah, I am. I'm focused on myself, I'm honest. And some people hear that and they get so hostile against it. They say, I'm not focused on myself, I know what I'm doing. And it just shows that they're focused on themselves, because they think their way is better. I mean, if you think you're not prideful, you probably are. Because you're showing that you know better. Pride is a tricky thing. It's annoying, if I'm honest. Because it's like always there in my life. And it's a problem I'm going to face. And the world hears that, and it doesn't like it. Our worldly side, our sinful flesh, does not like to hear that. I mean, from a worldly perspective, we have everything in our life is about us. And I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad or anything like that and telling you you're doing everything wrong. But I want you to see is that we're in desperate need of help. We're in a problem. I mean, the world is all about what revolves around me. I mean, if you look at television, sports, movies, video games, it's all focused on what I can get and what pleases me. It's all about my success, my fame, my money, my happiness, my relationships, my fulfillment. It's about me. Like, I really want you guys to see this. Because we're so focused on us. I mean, we're so focused. We need to see that the world is so bad and so prideful. And a lot of times we don't see how prideful it is. Like, I can look in my own life and see plenty of instances where pride is just there. I mean, I think of one story where, so it's back in elementary school. And when I was in elementary school, we go through like phases of things we would play on the playground. Like, there was one time we would like pretend we're veterinarians and like get the caterpillars. We always thought caterpillars were like really cool. And we get like the fuzzy caterpillars and like put them in cages and stuff. And then they would like die the day after because we like suffocated them. But like, that was one phase. And we would just go around and like play Star Wars and stuff, hit each other with sticks. But there was this one thing we would do. We would all go to the monkey bars. It would all, like, climb on it and try to impress one another. And then I remember I was with my best friend, and we were at the monkey bars, and we were, like, swinging around being guys on the monkey bars. And then these two new girls came over, and we were trying to impress them because we're guys, and that's what we do. So we were trying to impress them by showing how cool we were when we got at the top and, like, swung and then caught the other bar. So we would all get, like, to the very top of the monkey bars and all just, like, stand around and... We would stand on the monkey bars. I'm not even kidding. We would like stand. It was like a dome, like a jungle gym. I guess. I don't know. I guess that's the way to say it. But we would like stand at the top and just feel really cool, like we were at the top of the world. And we were such dumb kids, me and my best friend. Like, I don't know if it was all guys, but we were just really dumb. And we would just do really dumb things. And like the coolest thing, I remember this, because we would talk about like how cool it would be if we jumped off the top of the monkey bars. And I like whoever could jump the farthest was the coolest. So you would, like, get to the very top, and then you would jump, and then you would try to beat your friend by doing it. And we were all on there one day, sitting around, and I remember I really wanted a drink of water. So I was at the top of the monkey bars, so my best friend was there, and we had the two new girls there, and I really wanted to impress them. So I was like, okay, what can I do to impress them as I get down from the monkey bars? Because if they see me, like, do this amazing backflip off the jungle gym, they're just going to love me forever. So I was thinking through, and I was like, okay, I'll just jump off, and then I'll, like, fly in the air and catch this tree branch and then do, like, a double somersault and then just land, like, feet first and then, like, they'll just fall in love with me. That was my actual process of thinking. So I got to the very top and was preparing to jump off, and I jumped, and I have this weird thing with my bones. They just do weird stuff. They, like, pop all the time. So I jumped, and... my leg was about, like, midway. You know, if you ever popped your leg and it has, like, little movement in between your knee? And I felt that it was about to pop. So it was about to pop, and I remember it was in slow motion, too. It felt so slow. And I was just looking. I was jumping, and then I was looking at my leg, and I could feel it popping. I was like, oh, this is not going to end well. Like, this is going to hurt no matter what. So I, like, jumped off and landed, and then landed right on this leg, and it, like, popped out of socket and, like, broke in half. And then I was just, I know, it was gross, sorry. And then... I just was like, I stood there with my, like, bone popping out, just staring there. And I looked back at my best friend. I was like, I think something's wrong. And then I fell backwards. And, like, my first instinct, like, I didn't cry or anything. I think I was in shock because I was a crybaby back then, so I probably would have cried. And it was weird. But I was laying there and, like, my bones out. And then my first thought was like, well, I don't want to cry. I don't know what to do. So I grabbed my leg and I started spinning in circles on the ground. And like, my friend talks to me this day. He's like, you remember that one time you broke your leg and you were spinning in circles and looked like an idiot? It's like, yeah, I do remember that time. So I was laying there and the two girls I was trying to impress were right up there too. And they're just looking at you like, this guy's so dumb. And like, I'm just going around in circles. And my mom worked at that school and she was walking by and they went to go get my mom, and my mom walks in, and she sees me lying there, spinning in circles, and then she's like, Miles, get up, why are you being like this? Because I did stuff like that all the time. I thought I was a good kid, but, like, I was just spinning in circles. Mom's like, get up, and I was like, Mom, I can't. She's like, get up, and I was like, okay, so I try to get up, and my bone, like, pops out again, and then I fall down. I'm just, like, standing there. I was like, Mom, my leg, and she's like, oh, so they, like, got this really small cot, and they had, like, I was... When I was, I was about 8 years old, but I could still fit in, like, a 3-year-old cot. So they got me this really small cot and, like, put me on it and started carrying me off. And then they just, like, threw me into the car. And then, like, I went and then they figured out I broke my leg, which really wasn't hard to tell because there was a bone. But, so they gave me a cast and stuff like that. But, like, the thing I remember is I thought I was, like, the coolest dude in school because I had to be in this wheelchair for, like, 6 months. And, like, it was really cool. For Halloween, I dressed up as the Batmobile. And it's, like, the proudest achievement of my entire life. But, thank you. And I remember it because I want everyone to recognize me. Everyone had so much attention and focus on me. And everyone was paying attention to me. And it was great. I was like, look at that kid in that wheelchair. He's in a wheelchair. That was about it. But it felt so cool for people to see me. And, like, I was so focused on me. And I think back now, it's such a dumb story. Because I'm the kid that, like, jumped off the monkey bars. And, like, they made a rule. Like, they wrote it in writing. They said, no one's allowed to jump off the monkey bars anymore. And I felt so cool because I was the guy that created that rule. But, like, I remember that. I was so focused on myself. And we all are. Like, we'll use the dumbest things to get us satisfaction. We like to be focused on ourselves. And, like, I know you guys understand that because you hear it all the time with good preaching that says we need to move away from our sinful selves. But we're so focused on it. And we have to move away from that. And we have to recognize that in these verses, it talks about doing nothing out of selfish ambition. And a lot of the times we're focused so much on ourselves. And we have to recognize first and foremost, and this, if we stop here, it's pretty sad, but we have to recognize first and foremost that we are fallen, sinful beings that have no chance in the world at doing anything by ourselves. If we just try to go through life and do it our way, we will fail every time. And if we stop there, it's pretty sad, it's pretty hopeless, and there would be every reason for us to be depressed. And many of us are. Many of you are depressed and sad. But see, it doesn't stop there. We focus on how sinful we are, how prideful we are. It would be sad, but there's this next part where it gets amazing, when it gets into the solution about Christ. Paul says in verse 5, he's saying, look to this example of Christ. How in verse 6, he, although he was in the form of God, he was fully God. He left his heavenly throne. And he didn't think equality with God a thing to be grasped. What that means is he didn't exploit his godhood. He was fully God, but he didn't come down and leave his heavenly throne and come down in a blaze of glory, making us all submit. Because he could have. But he came down as a lowly babe. And it's just really amazing. We just got through Christmas, but it's such an amazing thing to think about. And then in verse 7, it's talking about how he emptied himself. Some people try to believe that this is God just putting away his deity. And he stopped being a God when he was human. But he was fully God and fully man when he came to earth. But he says, I'm going to take the form of a servant. I'm going to go as low as I can. I'm going to be a carpenter's son. So they'll see that I'm here to serve them. I'm not here to please myself. I'm here to take care of these sinners who need me. That's not pride that he's saying we need him. It's a fact that we need God. That he left his heavenly throne. That he left, like, think about that. He left his heavenly throne to come down to this earth. Like, why would you do that? Like, if I was in heaven, I'm not coming back to this sinful earth. There's nothing but pain and misery and sorrow and a whole bunch of bad stuff on this earth. I don't want to come back to it. But Christ says, I'm going to get down from heaven. I'm going to leave heaven. Not only that, he's going to leave the kingdom of heaven as being the king. And he leaves and he comes down for us. He faced everything we faced. Temptation, sorrow, trials. And he faced it even at a higher scale. Because Satan knew this was Christ and he was going to give him everything he got. Christ faced it all. And then, I want you to pay attention to this part, because this is the most important thing you're ever going to hear. Not because I'm saying it, because this is Christ. That verse 8, he says, he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He not only left his heavenly throne for you, but he left it, and he died. He faced humiliation, he faced pain, he faced sorrow, And, like, I don't think we all fully understand that. I don't fully understand. The more I think about it, the more amazed I get. And I just can't understand that Christ died on the cross for me. And, like, a big thing this semester I just kept thinking about, it's like, why? Like, let's think this through logically. Why would the Son of God leave His heavenly throne, suffer on this earth, die on the cross for me? Because I know me. And I know how bad of a person I am. Like, I always say, I'm the worst person I know, because I know every evil thought that enters my head. I know every bad thing. I know all of it. Why would He do that for me? And the answer's simple, but it's amazing. It's because He loved us. He loved me. He loved you. He still does. He always will. And made the sacrifice for us. He made a sacrifice for us. So the solution's really simple. It's to stop looking to pleasing yourself. And look to what Christ has done for you and say, Lord, thank you, because I don't deserve that. But I get to have it anyways. So the result of all of this, in verse 9, is that God's going to be highly exalted. That He's going to be above all. The Greek actually says, if you look at it, it says super exalted. So Christ's going to be super exalted. He's going to be way above all. Way above anything of this earth. It's heavenly. Christ's going to be above it all because He sacrificed Himself. He sacrificed Himself. And then verse 11, in verse 10 and verse 11, it says, everyone will know, and everyone will bow down, and everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Like, that would be really scary if I didn't believe in Christ. If I was an unbeliever, and I ignored all of this, I ignored Christ, and then that day comes, and I'm standing there, and I see all the Christians worshiping, but I realize that I ignored it. And I lived my own life. And I'm going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because I see it right now. But I didn't accept Him. I didn't want Him on earth. I mean, now I do, because now it benefits me. I don't want to go to hell. But I'm sitting there, and that'd be scary. It would be even, it would still be scary if I was a believer and I know I get to worship Christ. I know I get to be with Him forever. But I'm sitting there and I'm confessing to Christ. And I'm saying that this is Lord. And I think back to my life and I realize I didn't do anything for God. I accepted it into my heart. Maybe for a week I actually read my Bible and prayed. But I don't do anything for God. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking back to my life. I was like, this is the Lord above all. He's what matters in life. Nothing else matters. Nothing, no other relationship, no other ambition matters. Christ matters. Like, I 100% believe this. Now, this is true. That we'll all know that. That there's a problem that we are sinning and that we're so focused on ourselves, but Christ changed it all and we get to live forever with Him. And that's amazing. So as I close, I just want you to remember 3, 4 things. Bottom two go together, though. First off, is realize the destructive power of the world. Like, I've gotten to this point in my life that I'm realizing that a lot of people I knew in high school, in college, they don't care about Christ. Like, I made the mistake of in high school thinking everyone was a Christian, and that some just need more help than others. Like, statistically, someone in here is not a Christian. And as soon as they graduate, they're going to go off and do whatever they want. Like, I'm with my friends now, and I'm realizing that some of these friends, like, they're drinking alcohol. And I'm not getting into the debate of whether drinking alcohol is bad or not. But it's just like, oh. Like, these are actual problems in my life. Like, I had a girl, I participated in a youth group back home, or back at college. And I had this girl that just ran away from home, hooked up with the guys, living with her, doing whatever she wants. And, like, it's becoming real. That you can fake it all you want if you actually love, if you love God or not. You can fake it all you want. You can disguise all your friends. You can do whatever you want. You can pick and choose from the Bible and just twist everything you want. And it's going to come back and you're going to see your life just fall into shambles if you're not going to Christ. And, like, I'm scared for you guys. Because I want you to Make sure you're not going to be one of those people that just falls off and goes and does whatever they want, focus on themselves. But I want you to be that person that says, I'm going to go after Christ. Everyone else can fall around, everything else can fall apart around me, but I can trust in my Savior. And I want you to see your friends that are struggling. If you think someone's not a Christian, actually have a conversation with them. That's my biggest regret. I saw people I knew was not a Christian. I saw people that we would just assume was like there was always the people in high school who would just be like, that person's a lesbian, that person's gay. And like, I'm not getting into that they're, like, I love them. I love those people, and I want to go and talk to them. And I want to show them Christ. I don't care about the social stigma and stuff. I want people to see Christ. Like, I want to actually share the gospel. And like, you'll go out and you'll forget this message. Like, that's totally fine. That's okay. But I want you to remember of the truth from it. That Christ is amazing. He did amazing. He did the amazing thing for you. I want you to realize how destructive the world is. Realize how amazing Christ is. Secondly, rebuke the world. We've gone through that. You guys understand that. But I want you to do something with it. And then finally, rejoice and restore. See the amazingness of Christ and rejoice about it. Be happy about it. Because like, if I just start with that first half of the message, say, we're all sinful people, things are going horribly if we focus on ourselves. But it's positive because we have Christ right there. Focus on Him. That's where true joy, true fulfillment comes. I want us to be focused on Him and rejoice and restore our relationship with Him. A guy once said, a famous philosopher, he said, Christ is not valued at all unless He is valued above all. I want you to see how amazing Christ is. I want you to go out and think. It's like, we hear church sermons a lot, but we don't actually see how important these truths are and how they apply to our lives. It's an everyday thing. Gospel's not a one-time thing. It's every day we see how amazing it is, how it changes us, how Christ changes us. I need to see that better. Like, that's who I'm preaching to most of all, myself, because I'm do bad at it a lot of the time, most of the time, pretty much all the time. But I want us to see how fragile we are and how we can't do it, but how Christ can. I want us to recognize our inability and His ability. That changes everything. We say, I don't got this. The world might tell me to focus on myself. If I focus on myself, I'm going to fail. But if I focus on Christ, it's where the amazingness comes from. It's not just a hope. It's not just a hope. If I focus on Christ, everything will go well. If you focus on Christ, it's a promise. He takes care of you. And I hope you see that tonight. That Christ is amazing. And that Christ is always there for you. So focus on Him through everything you do. All right, let's pray and then we'll head out. Dear Lord, I thank You for being our God. I thank You for giving us blessings that we don't deserve, big and small, Lord, for taking care of us, for always being there. And even though we turn away from You a lot of the time, that You're always there to receive us back, that You love us. Lord, I don't know what's going on in everyone's life in this room, but what I do need to know is that we all need You. And Lord, there's probably some that aren't saved. There's some that are. There's some that aren't really seeking after You. But we're all in a different spot. And Lord, what we all need to do is just run towards You. Because that's where true joy, true fulfillment, true peace comes from. Lord, the world's not going to do that. And we're going to get lured into that temptation a lot. It's always there. Lord, You're always better. Help us to see how destructive the world is and run from it. Help us not to toy with it, try to take little parts at a time and just get acquainted with the world. We need that far away, Lord. Help us to run towards You. Lord, be with each one of them as they go to school, as they just go about their lives. Help them be focused on You. Help them enjoy life and see it through You, Lord. Thank You for everything. Keep us safe as we go out. In Your name, amen.
All right, as you guys are dismissed, if you need a t-shirt, if you go see one of the adults in the back, they'll help you get one. And then if I could see the praise and worship team for 90 seconds.